this episode of the Sophisticated Property Investing Podcast.
Every pound that's generated by a BNI group, when you think about it in terms of how money recirculates around the economy, I give you a pound, you'll spend it with someone else, they'll spend it with someone else, and so on. That goes around five times or so. The net effect of what BNI groups do to the local economy and the local community is far greater, actually, than the figures we publish.
Welcome to Sophisticated Property Investing, a podcast brought to you by Ethical Property Partners, the experts in sophisticated property investment.
Mr. Charlie Lawson, welcome to the EPP podcast. How are you, sir?
I'm very well, thanks, Frank. How are you?
I'm good. I'm enjoying a bit of snow in the Derbyshire hills here out the window. The kids are enjoying their sledging every morning during homeschool. And yeah, it's all good, mate. It's all good. It has been a while since we last spoke, Charlie. How long do you think it's been?
It must be a number of years, but I'm hoping you can tell me exactly how
I was trying to work it out. I think it's a decade. I think it's 10
really?
Or so well, years. I think it was 2010, yeah, that we last met as through BNI. So for those of you that don't know, Charlie Lawson is a good friend of mine. We go back quite a long way now. Charlie runs and owns the UK and Ireland master franchise for BNI, Business Network International. Some of you might have heard of BNI. Some of you might have even been to one of those mysterious early morning meetings. And I've invited Charlie on today because you might have heard me talk about networking. You might have heard me talk about referral marketing, but not really know what it is and not know how to get into it. So maybe I could start with that, Charlie. What is it? Well, how does a one-man band, a property investor who's buying a few houses a year, etc., how can they benefit from something that sounds a bit nebulous, a bit vague, such as referral marketing?
Let's be honest, I think any business, anyone...
I'm hoping you're going to say they can benefit, because otherwise it's going to be a short interview.
I certainly believe that any business can benefit from referral marketing. I do generally say if you're a space engineer or something like that, and that's you know, you're sending astronauts into space, maybe referral marketing won't work for you then. But other than that, pretty much, if you need customers, if you want to grow your contact base, if you want to get to know people who might be interested in selling property or maybe want to buy property, or, you know, people who have money that might want to invest, networking is a great way to find or get access to those people. So absolutely, no question in my mind, referral marketing is a great place to think, a great thing to do. And I let's explain what a referral is. I think that's the key thing. What you may well have heard, or listeners may well have heard, is people talk about networking. And you can picture that typical networking event. Okay, maybe right now with us all in the pandemic, they're all online, clearly. But, you know, in the in-person world, you might go along and have like a couple of sandwiches or a glass of wine, depending on the time of day. And you get lots of people just talking to each other and swapping business cards. That's one part of networking. That's where you get to know people and meet people and make new contacts. But what's really interesting is when you get onto the referral part of it, the referral networking part. And the referral is where you get introduced to people who would be keen to have a conversation with you. Doesn't mean it's a done deal. Doesn't mean you're guaranteed sale or guaranteed purchase or whatever it might be in whatever line you're in. But it means they're at least interested in having a chat. It's a warmed up introduction, which means it's much easier when you pick up the phone to them and you say, "Hi there, Frank, I'm Charlie." And you're saying, "Right, I'm great, great, looking forward to speaking to you." And it's a very different concept to saying, "Right, oh, you should go and talk to that bloke over there because he'd be interesting for you." Instead of just being a lead where you say, "Well, you should go and talk to that bloke over there," you know, when you pick the phone up to them, they're like, "Who are you?" You're getting, when you pick the phone up, they're going, "Oh, great, been looking forward to talking to you." And that's the very big difference between, you know, just meeting people and getting, you know, random leads through your networking compared to getting referred in. Refers in is where it comes through a relationship. Mm. And relationships are really important.
That makes sense. Now, I was trying to top this up. I did a bit of research before our meeting, and I reckon I've been to about 15 different networking groups. And the only one I stuck with, this is over 15 years of being in business, the only one I stuck with was BNI. I was a member of BNI for 8 years, consistently turned over about 100K, when I say turned over, made 100K net profit a year from my BNI membership, which was basically a a breakfast once a week. And when you phrase it like that, it's quite remarkable. And yet there were 14 groups that really didn't work for me. Some of them branded themselves as referral groups. Some of them branded themselves as networking groups. I jumped on Google, right, Charlie? And this will be funny. You're probably aware of this, right? But I jumped on Google to try and get some stats. And what I found was you've got over 520 chapters, so groups of people, business people meeting all over the UK and Ireland. Got over 12,500 members and somewhere in the region of £500 million of turnover being done by those members that they're attributing to BNI, which is amazing, absolutely amazing. And I know that those are genuine numbers because I've been part of them for 8 years. However, all around those stats, there was some absolute rubbish being touted, you know, about referral marketing doesn't work, networking's a waste of time, et cetera, you know. You're never going to find someone to buy your product from you in a room of 20 people or a room of 30 people. So can we drill down a little bit into a property investor? And let me just, if I may, describe a sophisticated property investor to you. So this is an EPP partner. Thank you. An EPP partner or one of the listeners. They're not trotting down to an estate agent to buy a 100 grand house for 100 grand. You know, they're looking to buy at 25% below market value, or they're looking to buy a property where they don't actually put any of their own money into the transaction. And so they're looking to be introduced to largely three different types of people. So if I describe those to you, can you then tell me how one of my partners coming into a BNI group might benefit from that? Would that be a useful thought exercise, Charlie?
Yeah.
Awesome, thank you. And I'm hoping this goes well, this bit of the interview, because for those of you listening, we've just struck up a partnership with BNI UK and Ireland, where we're introducing all our partners to chapters. I'm hoping we can come up with it in theory, Charlie.
There is one caveat. And the caveat is, it's not a get rich quick scheme. So you can't just turn up in a BNI group or any networking and say, right, there you go, thank you, there's tons of business, just like that. It doesn't work like that. It takes time to build the relationships. But once you've got the relationships, hit it. Let's go through how we can make that happen.
That's very true, actually, very true. I tell my guys that they're looking at possibly 6 to 12 months before they get their first bit of business.
Yeah, I think that's very realistic.
Especially in our industry. If you're selling bouquets of flowers, it might be a bit quicker. But
yeah, when it's a tangible thing straight in front of you, you can try it out quickly and easily. It's easy to get that level of trust in the service provider. When it's a service helping people accumulate wealth effectively, because of what it is, by its very nature, there's got to be a deep level of trust there. So that's why it does take time, and we just have to be realistic about it.
Yeah, thank you for that. Thank you. So the three types of person that SPI investors, so sophisticated property investors, are looking for are typically motivated vendors. So people who want to sell a property who are more motivated than 99% of the market. So they either need to sell really quickly, or they're in negative equity, so they can't sell through an estate agent. So for some reason, a normal estate agency sale isn't going to work for them. So that's going to be, most SPI investors are going to be wanting to meet with as many motivated vendors as possible. That's the first group of introductions that would be really valuable to them. The second is going to be people with money who don't want to invest in property. So at the moment, there is a lot of pain in the UK from people who want to retire. They've got lumps of cash, but because Bank of England base rates at 0.1%, their retirement plans that they might have made 20 years ago, when 8%, 7% fixed rate bonds were available, they're getting 80 times less than that from the bank right now. It's their retirement plans are in tatters. They don't really want to buy property. They don't want to mess around with tenants or workmen and all the hassles that go with owning a property, but they would love a return that is possible through property. So a 5%, 10% return, something like that. So people with money that don't want to own property. And then the third category, that, and I'm going off my experience here, there's probably more, but these were the three that I used to get referrals from, that I used to make good money from in my membership. The third one is people that want to put a small part of their wealth into property, but don't want to learn how to do it. They don't want to listen to podcasts like this. They don't want to come on seminars. They don't want to become an EPP franchisee. They just want to have someone find an investment they want to buy, and they just want to get the return from it. And those people are typically getting an 8%, 12% return on their money. They do own the property, but it's kind of an armchair investment for them. So those are the three types of people. How would you see that working for one of our partners joining one of the your BNI groups, Charlie?
I think all three of those categories of people are very easily accessible. I say easily, I'm going to put that caveat in again, got to have the relationships first, because it doesn't happen without that. But what we encourage any business owner to do, doesn't matter what industry you're in, is we talk about being specific and very targeted in what you're asking for. So a lot of people look at networking, BNI groups in particular, and they'll come in and see a group of people. There might be anything between 25 and 50 people in the room or on the screen, as it obviously is currently. You think, oh, I could do business with them and them, but then there's no one else to do business. You know, people don't often see, they'll look at that group of people. And being honest, you probably won't find those three categories of people in the BNI group that you go and see. So you might be tempted to say, well, hang on, what's the point? But here's the deal. This is how networking really works. Remember what we talked about before with referrals? It's about getting referrals to a third party. Someone is going to introduce you to these people rather than you necessarily directly doing business with them straight away through the networking. So what we encourage anyone to do, coming back to that thing about being targeted and being specific, what you would absolutely want to do is go to your BNI group and say to the members, remember, they have a relationship with you. You've got to know them. They've got to know, like, and trust. They want to help you. That's the key thing we've got to remember. You then say, well, I'm looking for people like this. And you list off the three categories. I want people who want to, you know, perhaps sell property. You want people who want to buy. You want people who have money to invest, so on and so on. And what you'll then do is you, through the relationships you've got, people will start thinking of people they know that would fit into those categories. Now, when it gets really interesting, that's going to lead to a certain amount. I'm going to say that's going to be good, but not great, if you like. If we want to really get great at it, what we would suggest we do, the best way to get referrals is go through introducers. So instead of asking for the end client, i.e. the person who wants to invest or person who wants to sell or whatever it is in this case, what we're thinking about is, who do people like that know? Who knows people, or who hangs out with people who have money to invest, who hangs out with people who have who are interested in property and so forth? So what we talk about is, instead of necessarily going for the end user, we look for someone who introduces you people like that. So instead of one end user, you might get a stream of 5 or 10 or 100 people who come to you in that situation. So I don't know, this is, I'm interested in brainstorming this with you, Frank, a little bit. Who would tend to know the people, you know, your three categories of people? Are we talking, you know, people who have wealth management practices, perhaps?
Yeah, I can actually give some real examples of strategic alliances that I set up through my BNI membership, Charlie. So the first one, which is a bit of an obvious one perhaps, was an IFA. So independent financial advisor, they're sat with people all day, every day, talking to them about how best to invest their money. They've got all these products that they can sell them, in effect. But if someone says, I'm a little bit interested in property, or what do you think of property? Most IFAs have got no avenue, no means of monetizing that inquiry, other than to say, well, go have a look at some estate agents. And so it was a really good tie-up. And so I actually, in the 8 years, created strong relationships with probably 4 or 5 independent financial advisors across BNI groups, and not just my group, but they referred me to other groups. And
exactly, because you get the opportunity. It's not just your own group. There's the wider network. You know, in fact, there's a global network if you want to tap into it. So effectively, you build a relationship with that person, then they pass you a stream of potential people who might be good for you. That would be the pure way of it working, I would say.
Absolutely. And on the vendor side, I met a lady in my chapter who helped people with debt problems. And so she focused on unsecured debts, so debts on credit cards, etc. But as soon as there was a problem with a secured debt, so one like mortgage arrears or a secured loan on their house, she wasn't qualified to touch that at all, and basically was turning those people away. And so when we started chatting, I was like, well, I can help them because I can buy that house from them and pay off all their debts. And that was a really successful relationship, because what it also meant was not only could she refer potential vendors to me, so people who were in a bit of a pickle and needed to sell, but I was speaking through my marketing to vendors who were in often, not always, but often in problem in money trouble with debt issues, and I couldn't always buy their house, but I could then refer them to her, and she could sometimes help them even though they thought they needed to sell their house but they didn't. And so yeah, there was quite a few reciprocal relationships with strategic alliances. And you're absolutely right, rather than just, you know, Fred would like to buy a house or Jane wants to lend 100 grand to you, Frank, having a strategic alliance is brilliant because you get that ongoing flow of customers, which is brilliant.
And that's really the way it works. When it does become reciprocal, it's in the interests of both parties to keep it going as much as they can. You know, BNI operates from the philosophy, if you like, is called something. It's something called giver's gain. If I give business, I might get it back in return. Doesn't mean it's a guarantee. Doesn't mean it's an expectation. But it's a likelihood. It's a bit like what goes around comes around. But as you continue to feed that relationship with these strategic partners and alliances that you've got, well, then they'll continue to provide you an ongoing stream of potential clients.
Mm. And the thing that I loved about BNI and why I've recommended it to so many of my franchisees already, we've got quite a few successful franchisees in your groups already, Charlie. I don't know if you knew that, but
I had heard that there were a number arriving. Yeah, it's great to hear that they're starting to get or coming into BNI and starting to get some results.
Absolutely. And the great thing that I say to them is you see these people every week. So it's not like having, I sat down with a guy yesterday on Zoom. It was an introduction. It was a brilliant meeting, 35, 40 minute meeting. We came up with four or five ways we could refer business to one another. It was great. But I must have 10 of those meetings a month, and only a small number of them actually bear fruit, because it's a one hit. It's like a great, and we both get excited. And unless one of you have the quite significant motivation to keep the relationship going and build on it and try some transactions, etc., the likelihood is, in my experience, and maybe I'm poor at this, especially poor at it, is that it peters out. But what I love about a regular networking opportunity such as BNI is you're there every week, so it doesn't peter out. If anything, it gets stronger and stronger. And you said no, like trust. Well, that getting to know someone and then getting to like someone and then getting to trust them is unlikely to happen in the first 35 minutes. It's going to take time, which brings us back to how long it's going to take. So yeah, it makes sense.
Yeah, and I wanted to just touch upon another area. I'm not only the national director of BNI, I'm also what I call an unnatural networker.
Do you put that on your business card?
No, I absolutely do. I have a business card that says unnatural networker.
Oh, good on you.
Absolutely. And I'm going to be completely honest and open with you here. Whisper it. Don't really like networking. I'm just going to say that. But what I mean, let's qualify what I mean by that. What I mean is, if I've got a choice of going to meet a few people, new people, and at a networking event, or hanging out with my mates, I'd rather hang out with my mates because it's easy, it's comfortable, it's fine. But what I recognise also is that you can't grow a business if you just don't ever meet anyone new. So clearly you have to do it. And that's where BNI really is great. The point you were just making there, it doesn't peter out. You've got to have a continued process to it. And actually, BNI is great for the unnatural networker. And I think it's worth just saying this because, I mean, I don't know all of your franchisees or all the people listening to this podcast, but I think there's a very fair bet that a good number of them feel somewhat unnatural when it comes to networking. Maybe a little bit shy, maybe, you know, a bit introverted, not really an extrovert in terms of going out and meeting lots of people. Maybe, you know, have had a poor previous experience in networking. That may well have happened. And what BNI gives gives everyone this, but it particularly gives the unnatural network of this. It gives you that little bit of accountability to go and do it. You've got to turn up. I mean, honestly, if you don't turn up, then you'll be asked to leave the group. Honestly, that's just the way it works. So you've got to show up. You've got to bring something to the group as well. It's not just about, well, come into the group and you'll receive a lot. They expect you to participate. And if you can participate and build the relationships with people, then the returns are immense. But it requires that little bit of accountability, that little bit of effort. Like you're saying, you don't, other networking can just peter out so easily. What this requires, a bit more effort, I accept that, but it's that effort that makes it really worthwhile because you get the long-term stream of results.
And because collectively everyone's putting that effort in, so stuff actually exactly, happens, yeah. Business gets done, hence the £500 million a year, which is, absolutely exactly. Amazing. So I've got a couple of questions for you, Charlie. The first one is, how does networking and referral marketing fit into a post-COVID world? Because, you know, pressing the flesh, having breakfast, I you see it on movies now, you see like 20 people in a room and it feels a bit odd. Look, they're sat next to each other.
I was saying that to someone when I was on a Facebook Live only earlier today. We were talking about like when you see it on TV and there's a crowd, you're like, well, they know you're all so close to each other. This is weird.
They haven't just sanitized. Yeah. You should pass the salt. Well, look at that. Aren't they crazy? Yeah. How does it look in the future? And obviously, you presumably put a lot of thought into this.
Yeah, definitely.
There's
a
massive benefit to relationship marketing, referral marketing, as we've just been discussing. But how do we balance that in a sensible way with the health risks and that people's changing attitudes to socializing?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, it's a great question, and some of those things obviously are still somewhat unknown because we don't know exactly what the world's going to look like. I hate to say going back to normal, but you know, when we can meet people in person, what exactly will be the social norms? Some of that's still to be worked out. But here's where I see things at the moment. I'm going to put this in the context of what BNI has done, and it's a story I'm really pleased to shout about because I'm proud of what we've done. Clearly, back last in early 2020, everything was going, you know, going south, and we needed to do something. And every single face-to-face group met online. Within the space of 1 week, every single group had been transferred online, which I thought was an amazing thing. A lot of work, I say a lot of work, not by me, by lots of people. You know, we're all in team effort, if you like, but every single BNI group had to, you know, learn how to run, you know, meetings by Zoom, for example. You know, it was a big logistical effort, but we got it done. And what it's meant that is that those referral communities, these networking groups, have carried on going and have actually created pretty much the same results in business generated terms as we do in a quote normal year. So that's something that I feel really proud of. What we're now looking at is how we can, you know, at some point, clearly at some point when it's safe to do so, there will be a return to in-person meetings. What we know is the online model works. And if you want to grow your business, get the referrals to the people you're after, then the online model totally works. Some groups desperate to go back to in-person. Some groups, honestly, quite happy to stay online. So I'm actually going to see a bit more of a mix. Clearly no one's going to be going back into a room until it's safe to do so. And networking events, let's face it, that's going to be a great way to spread a virus around, you know, shaking hands and hugging and all sorts of things that you do when you meet people in a networking event like that. But it's it's going to be the combination of the two that make the difference, both combining it online and the in-person, that's going to make the big difference when things get back to normal, you know, when we're able to get into a room together.
Yeah, it's fascinating, Charlie, isn't it? Because we've got all the uncertainty. I think that's so encouraging that your members are making as much money for one another online as they were in person, because that gives you and them massive flexibility moving forwards. I can understand why some people want to stay online.
There's huge benefit. I mean, for some people, honestly, it's less about the safety element, although obviously I'm not trying to belittle that. Clearly that's important. You know, it's the fact that they don't have to, you know, drive to their meeting and drive back again. And that just saves them time. I mean, you mentioned, referenced earlier, that BNI meetings early in the morning. Well, that's, I'm not saying it's changed. There are still BNI meetings early in the morning, but there's also BNI meetings at different times of day. So if doing the school run is an issue for people, well, there's chapters that they get called school run chapters, honestly, and they meet at 9:30 after the kids have been dropped off at school, and then you're on with your day. So yeah, there's quite a lot of flexibility around that. And like I said, with the in-person versus online dynamic, there's also quite a lot of flexibility about that as well. So there's different groups are going to be doing different things. Clearly, at the moment, we're all still online, and we'll stay there until it's safe to do so. But effectively, the our learning from 2020 is we've got different ways of delivering the product we deliver. And honestly, they're as successful as each other. It's a great position to be in.
I'm going to just take us down a tangent for a minute. You may not remember this, Charlie, but I'm going to say it was, I don't know what year it would have been exactly, but maybe 2010. I think it's 2010, 2011. We had the first mid-morning chapter in the UK and Ireland. I don't know if you remember that.
I certainly remember when they came along. I hadn't particularly connected that to your part of the world. But
it was a group of, I'm going to use the word delicately, rebellious business people in Nottingham that said, this is really inconvenient. Let's meet at, I think it's 9:30 or 9:15 or something like that. And I remember coming to you guys at National Office saying, guys, we've got this group that meet at this time. Is that allowed? Like, how's that going to work? And it's really interesting that that's become a...
Well, it's definitely become much more of a norm. I mean, there's groups that meet in the mid-morning, some of meet lunchtime, you know, one or two meet in the afternoon, you know, fewer in the evening, honestly, just because that tends to be more, you know, family and, you know, personal time. But lots of variety on that, for sure.
It makes sense because different people have different schedules, don't they? So good to hear that it's working, because I've obviously checked in with my partners and they were saying that it was continuing. But if it wasn't to work online, that is a massive blow to small businesses' marketing.
Let's not beat around the bush. There's been some terrible situations for various industries. I mean, you look at the events industry, it's a nightmare, and catering and restaurants and so forth. You know, there's a lot of industries that we all know are suffering big time. But yeah, when we were able to deliver the product and deliver it as effectively, you know, I'm accepting the fact that some people just want to be in a room with each other, honestly, you know, and they're never going to be happy unless they can be. You know, it's been, it genuinely feels something, to be really proud of. We look at, you know, referrals that are generated. That's the main thing we do. And sometimes when you get very close to a group, you'll think, right, what about the business? Well, you know, you're always focusing on the referrals, but I like to look at what those referrals create. I mean, does that help put, you know, honestly, it puts food on the table for people. That's at its bluntest level. That's what it does. And then when you grow your business and, you know, you perhaps make different life choices, you know, can you put the kids through education or go away on holiday? Maybe not right now on holiday, of course. You know, does it allow you to make those different life choices? And, you know, it also helps the local community as well. You know, when a business grows, you know, they maybe take on new staff, put a new van on the road, new contractors, depending on what type of business it is. And that helps other families and other people in the community, and the way money recirculates around the economy as well. You know, every pound that's generated by a BNI group, actually, when you think about it in terms of how money recirculates around the economy, you know, that happens, you know, I give you a pound, you'll spend it with someone else, they'll spend it with someone else, and so on. That goes around sort of five times or so. And, you know, you've got the net effect of what BNI groups do to the local economy and the local community is far greater, actually, than the figures we publish. So, it feels very gratifying. I feel proud to be involved in a business that makes that sort of difference.
Rightly so. I want to ask you, Charlie, you've got a pretty unique insight into your 12,500 members. And some of them you'll know really well, some of them you perhaps don't know that well at all. But what I wanted to ask you about was, a lot of our partners have massively flourished over the last, we're 12 months in now, pretty much, aren't we? 12 months into a COVID world. And some of our partners have definitely found it hard. The changes to lifestyle, changes to household arrangements. Some have, I've had inquiries from people who are really struggling with their mental health, etc. What I wanted to ask you about was what traits, because there'll be people listening to this who are just wanting to get going in their property business, or perhaps they've got a property business and now they want to take it to the next level. What traits have you seen across that really unique perspective of SME owners that have almost torpedoed themselves, you know, where they've just imploded? Hospitality, doesn't matter how positive you are, you're probably, well, it's interesting, I was going to say you're probably going to have suffered, but I could give you local examples of restaurants that are selling, their turnover's gone up because they've switched to takeaway and they are like smashing the whole takeaway business. So I should probably stop myself from making judgments. But business owners who have hindered themselves and almost become feathers on the breeze of COVID, and then business owners, your members who own their own businesses, who've done the reverse, who've taken the bull by the horns and are flourishing as a result. Could you give us some insights into what you've observed, Charlie? That, because I'm hoping that our listeners can then go, do you know what? I'm going to adopt some of those habits, and oh, I was slipping into that habit. I'm going to knock that on the head. What have you observed?
Yeah, sure. I mean, initially I was a bit slightly worried when you were asking the question, because you were sort of putting it from the point of view of people who have suffered. I'm going to be honest, it's too generalistic to say nobody has suffered. Clearly, BNI members have suffered. But the vast majority of BNI members have actually had the latter effect, where they've actually benefited from what's gone on. BNI groups aren't just about getting referrals. They're about a supportive network that helps each other and looks out for each other. Remember, when you build relationships, we talked about relationships in terms of you need the relationships to get the referrals. It's not going to happen. You're not going to get business if you don't have that. But when you've got relationships, well, actually, there's someone you care about and there's someone you want to help. And, you know, while you wouldn't join BNI to get some friends, the fact is you make some friends. It sounds funny when you say it like that, but the reality is people do make friends. The point I'm saying is there's people around you who will look after you. And the number of stories I've seen where members have rallied around each other, and okay, it's clear that they're in a sticky place and they've got to. I mean, I'll give an example from the we talk about the hospitality and events industry. We have something called in BNI called power teams. That's where related businesses get together and work together, and that often happens within a group. That's the idea. So property investors would be very much part of a property power team. Anyone dealing with, you know, property and finance and so on will be part of your power team. But what we've seen is, say, with the hospitality industry, is people come together from chapters across the country. I was invited onto a call only last week with a weddings power team. So it was anyone who was in the events and hospitality industry. And they were all trying to, you know, photographers, caterers, venues, you know, anything to do with weddings and events, effectively. And they were trying to help each other. And when you see that spirit of camaraderie and support and helping each other pivot and doing the things that, you know, whether it's coming up with a different product line or, you know, encouraging a photographer to, instead of just doing wedding photos, to do product photos or whatever it might be, you know, they've been working together. So honestly, my experience is, while it's not fair to say that there's no members that have suffered, clearly that's not the case. The vast majority of people have been entrepreneurial and thought, how can I get out of this? What can I do to change it, my situation? What can I do to pivot or make, you know, change my product line or product offering in some way? And then their chapters have supported them to make that happen. That's the overriding impression I've got. You know, whether it's people, there was a printer in a chapter in not far from me in North London, who started manufacturing masks and PPE for the NHS, you know, and his chapter supported him to do it. There's all sorts of examples like that where they've just supported each other and helped each other to not only stay afloat but actually thrive in the current economy.
That's encouraging, absolutely. I wonder, Charlie, if we could finish off and then we'll talk about how the guys can get in touch if they want to try a BNI chapter out, a local chapter to themselves. I wondered if I've given my story. It's been phenomenally positive. 8 years of membership at BNI. Can you give any other stories or a story of someone in property where it's worked for them? Who have you come across? Who springs to mind where you think that person did all right out of their group? Because I imagine there's some people listening that think. And by the way, guys, BNI, Charlie heads up UK and Ireland, but BNI is a global organisation. I think the last count, we're in 27 countries or something in terms of where this podcast is listened to. There will almost certainly be a BNI chapter in your country, if not in your local town. So you can look it up. But Charlie, what success stories have you heard of in BNI from property investors or property people?
Oh, there must be loads, and you put me on the spot somewhat there in terms of property investors, and you know, immediately I'm thinking of people who I can picture doing well from BNI, but they're not in property, which is annoying, and I'm not picturing. I'm trying to give you a good example.
You're imagining the newspaper headlines saying BNI doesn't work for property investors. Yeah. It says Charlie Lawson.
Charlie doesn't care about his people. He doesn't know anyone. I'm sorry, that's terrible.
It's just that's the headline in the property news today. Yeah.
Hold on, I've got one for you.
Awesome. Yeah, what's that one then?
There's one particular one I remember. It was a guy who ran an IFA practice, a financial advice practice, and a guy who ran specialised in mortgage brokers. And, you know, there was definitely crossover between them. And I remember them actually thinking, this is when I was based down in southeast London, and I can picture them. They I wouldn't say they come to blows, that's too strong, but they definitely weren't seeing eye to eye on how they could work together. And anyway, they did build a relationship. Cut a long story short, they set up in business together. They just realized there was so much synergy between each other. There was no point. They actually set up their own business together. And it was so easy then for, you know, the referrals to come in, and they'd just be passing business constantly to each other. Obviously, once they were in a business, it wasn't so much passing. It was just, you know, passing over the desk, if you like, to their colleagues. So you see so many different examples of how that can work. And sometimes where, you know, I'll encourage any business owner, forget BNI just for a second, this is anywhere, to actually speak to people that would potentially be your competitor, because you just never know where the synergies might come and where the relationships might come and who people know. You know, in life, they often say, is it what you know or who you know? I mean, the obvious answer is obviously who you know, but I'd say it's not that. It's definitely not what you know either. It's not who you know. It's how well you know them. And when you know people really well and you have a relationship with them, that's when amazing things happen.
Yeah. Absolutely. Really good to chat again, mate. It's been far too long, 10 years.
Yeah,
thank you for your time. If people listening to this want to go and check out BNI for themselves, want to go visit either an online meeting or an in-person meeting, hopefully before too long, what's the best way of them doing that?
Well, I think the best way is to just get on the website and check out where your local group is. I mean, they're groups across the whole of the UK and Ireland as well. And indeed, as you mentioned before, internationally, depending on where you are, I think BNI is in about 70 countries. So there's a good chance that there'll be something for you. Certainly in the US, came from the US, so there's definitely BNI there. So yeah, check out the website, bni.co.uk in the UK and bni.com globally. Check it out. And honestly, come and visit and see what they do.
And what I can say from personal experience, guys, is there are not tons of property investors in BNI groups. In all the groups I ever visited, and I visited quite a few, I never met another specific property investor. I'm sure they do exist, but most groups you go along to, you'll be welcome with open arms, because they'll have referrals to give to a property investor, but they won't be one in the group. So, Charlie, thank you so much, mate. Really good to catch up. And hopefully
problem.
Chat. Before 10 years passes again.
Yeah,
cheers, Charlie. Take care.
Sophisticated Property Investing, a podcast brought to you by Ethical Property Partners, the experts in sophisticated property investment.